Well, good morning, everyone.
Wow, it's wonderful to see so many folks here. And you have a wonderful facility. I really appreciate the effort you guys have taken to put this building in place to help people worship God. And it's just wonderful. And it's wonderful to meet all of you. You understand that we have never met before. It was great. We talked 2 years ago. We had a phone call and still had never met. Today was the first time we got to meet. So I am thrilled to be here. And it just tells us how big the Lord's family truly is. So I've been nervous. I'm going, I got to meet a whole bunch of new people. But they're all brothers and sisters in Christ. So that makes it even better. Well, I'm Jeremy Goen, as was introduced. And my wife, Jennifer, is back home with our 9-year-old third grader. His name is Kobe. And my son, Gabriel, is 20. And he's at Purdue University. That may be a bad word for you guys here. But that's the only game we have enjoyed this season. So, just so you know. So I'm having to deal with Ohio State stuff here, but that's great. Aside from preaching, I also teach in our elementary school, and I drive a school bus. I'm the STEM instructor for our school. I teach science, technology, engineering, and math, and I also retired from the Air Force. But I've been preaching for, I guess, about nearly 30 years now. I got to preach while I was in the Air Force, and I got to preach in Wasilla, Alaska for 2 years, San Angelo, Texas for 2 years while I was in the service. And then when we moved home after I retired, the congregation my wife grew up in, there was an opportunity for me to fill in. We've been there for 7 years. So I'm thrilled to get this opportunity to be here in Ohio. My in-laws actually lived in Cleveland, Ohio for a few years. So I'm familiar with Ohio. And you guys have been wonderful neighbors to the state of Indiana, and we appreciate that. So, but we're not here to talk about me. We're here to worship our God and to learn more about His will. Now, real quick, because I know I don't have a lot of time for class. Each lesson is going to come with a handout. We call it a sermon supplement. And in that, I hope to provide you more than what you get from my sermon. There's an article on the front of every one of these from a book by Gary Henry. I don't know if you're familiar with Gary Henry, but he's written some wonderful books that give you things to think about, and I put those on the front. On the back, on some of them, you'll get the scripture reading for each lesson and an additional psalm. And then Monday through Friday, there's Use Your Bible, a list of questions that you can go through your Bible and answer those questions, just to keep your mind hopping as you go through the week. As well, you'll get the handout with the outline that we'll have, because I'll go pretty fast with my slides, and I don't want you to miss the scripture references. And then I've also got my favorite poem in the front of the one that you have right now. My grandmother grew up in the Lord's Church, and she gave me a book, and it had this poem in it. And I thought, wow, this is a wonderful poem, because it talks about how we are supposed to read our Bible. And it really questions how people read their Bibles. And I think it's a fascinating poem, and I'll let you read that. But it's something that really helps me realize how important it is to read our Bible with the right attitude and the right disposition. So you'll get one of those with every lesson that we have. And so if anybody needs another one, we've got one right there. I'll be using the New King James Version, but I'll be referencing the King James. And I might have some other references as we go through the week, just so you're familiar with what I have. And I'm not sure what everybody has here, but it's good to know what Bible we're using, what Bible we have in the house. And all the lessons that I've put together for this week are to help us with application. It's so important that we apply everything we read from Scripture to our hearts, because in our world we have a heart condition. Sin has invaded our hearts, and it is hard to work through it. So I think it's important that we use our Bible and allow the mind of Christ to permeate our hearts and live there. It's got to take residence, and we have to make His will our own. And the only way we can do that is through study of His Word. And we're going to look at some folks this week that we can make application from. And the first one is Mary. Mary is somebody that maybe we don't think about too often, but it's a great place to start, because this is the mother of our Lord. And I've often wondered, why did God choose Mary to bring our Lord and Savior into the world? Why put this tremendous burden on this young lady to bring the Savior of the world into the world? Have you ever thought about Mary and how important she truly is to our salvation? Now, we know there's a denomination in our world that has made her out to be something that she isn't. And we'll discover that as we go through our lesson today. We'll see that this lady has some tremendous attributes that you and I need to take on. You and I need to recognize several things about her. In Hebrews 11 and verse 21, wait a minute, what happened? All right, all these slides are supposed to be done. Hey, just a moment. Technology and I are not working well together right now. All right, let's try again. What are we doing? If I go to that slide. Now let's see how we go. All right, in Proverbs 31 and verse 28, in the passage on the worthy woman, it is noted, her children rise up and call her blessed. This is dealing with a mother. Oh. Anybody know what's going on with this? Oh, I need to hit that button.
Yeah.
Okay. Operator error. I apologize. There we go. All right, you didn't want to see those slides again. All right, you all know who Charlie Brown is? You've heard of the Peanuts characters. Well, he made this wonderful statement. He said, everyone needs someone to love them, trust them, care for them, support them, laugh, and cry with them. And Lucy comes along, and we all know how Lucy is. If you know the characters, she said, that's a lot of people. But Snoopy says, or one wonderful mother. Now, I ask you to think about your mother for a few minutes. Think about how wonderful she was. Maybe she wasn't as wonderful as you would have liked for her to have been. But I think about the mothers in my life and in the Lord's church, whether you like it or not. If you obey the gospel of Christ, you'll have a whole herd of mothers that want to help you to grow and to walk. And that's how the Lord blesses us with His family. There are mothers and grandmothers and sometimes even great-grandmothers that help us to grow. And I cherish every woman that has been in my life that has helped me walk as a Christian. And it's because of many of those women that I present the things the way that I do. They've asked me to do things to help them to learn. And I try to listen to every one of them and apply it to how I serve. But anyway, this discussion... Now what's going on? Okay. Just making sure I don't hit the wrong button. But we've got to realize how important mothers are. And when God made this decision, He must have chose Mary because there was something tremendous about this woman. Or maybe not. Maybe she was just chosen. What we have to recognize in Luke 1 and verse 42, where Elizabeth said to Mary, blessed are you among women. You are the most blessed among women. That's really what she was telling Mary. You are the most blessed. And Luke 1 and verse 48, for behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. And she was blessed, wouldn't you say? She was blessed. What an honor, what a privilege to get to bring the Savior of the world into existence. And let's recognize that all mothers are blessed. Every one of them is blessed with the opportunity to bring a child into this world. A blessing from God, a soul to raise. But it seems that Mary was especially blessed. You see, of all the women living at that time, God chose her to be the mother of His Son. So we want to ask, why? What's so special about Mary? In Luke 1 and verse 28, you see, we have to learn from this. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Now, God was not under any compulsion to choose Mary. Nothing in the Word indicates that Mary was so good and perfect that God was forced to choose her. But we're told that God chose her as an expression of His grace. And that's what we see here in this text. And she was told, the Lord is with you. And let's understand what this favored means. Favored is translated from charitu. And it means grace. And the word grace speaks of unmerited favor. And that's what we all enjoy, being members of the Lord's church, that unmerited favor from God. But we want to understand, Mary must have had certain special qualities to be chosen by God. So we ask, what were they? What were these qualities? Now let's ask or recognize something about this. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth. So here, Nazareth, being a small village located 15 miles west of the western tip of the Sea of Galilee and 22 miles from the Mediterranean on one of the southernmost slopes of the Lebanon mountain ranges. And the angel was sent in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. That's what we want to recognize. The sixth month of that pregnancy. To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. We want to understand who this woman was. And this fact that she was a virgin is also important for us to take note of. Now, let's recognize some things about Joseph. Because Joseph was a descendant of David, but obviously he is not our Lord's father. And he was a poor carpenter. And we also recognize that he lived in Nazareth. And Joseph and Mary were poor. And we know this from the sacrifice that they made using the turtle doves. All these things we need to take note of. Now, the virgin's name was Mary. And let's recognize this thought. It's a Greek form of the Hebrew name Miriam, meaning bitter. But we want to recognize that, like Joseph, Mary apparently came from an unpretentious family. But she was also a descendant of the king of David. And this is important for us to note. In 2 Samuel 7 and verse 12, we learn about this. And we learn that Jesus was not a fleshly descendant of David through Joseph. He was a fleshly descendant through Mary. That's something the world around us needs to know. How many of you have talked to someone that they don't know the lineage of Christ? How many Christians do you know that they don't know the lineage of Christ? That's something we've got to help people know. We've got to help people learn and know about our Lord and where He was from. In Matthew 1 and verse 18, we read, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit." Now, this is important for us to note. Because Mary may have been a teenager when she became pregnant with Jesus. She may have been a teenager, and here she is betrothed to a man named Joseph. And Joseph may have been an older man. Have you ever thought about the ages of these people in that day and how things worked? Because the marriage was arranged. And in this case, Mary may have been a teenager. Joseph may have been older. And have you ever thought about this? Joseph is never mentioned during the personal ministry of Jesus. We never see him again. So it's fascinating when you think about this situation. There's something going on with Mary. But when it comes to fulfilling God's purposes, and this is what you and I have to recognize, is surroundings and circumstances, well, they're not that important. God can use anyone in any place. And that's what we learn about Mary. And this passage also implies that one doesn't have to wait until he's old and wrinkled to be used by God. God will use all of us at any age. You think about David when he was young and he slew Goliath. How old was he? God's angel came to a young girl, probably still in her teens, to enlist her help in fulfilling the divine plan. And all of these qualities, beginning with she was not afraid to use her mind. That's something we as people are pretty lazy when it comes to using our mind. We've got to get a desire to grow and to learn. Well, Mary, she was not afraid to use her mind. When it comes to studying our Bibles, we've got to use our mind. That's what you and I need to encourage in our young folks and in our older folks. We've got to encourage folks to use your mind, study the Bible. Paul tells us when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. When we read, we've got to read the Scriptures. In Luke 1 and verse 28, we read this, "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.'" The first thing the angel says to her is, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." How tremendous is that? Would you like an angel to come in and tell you, "Hey, the Lord is with you"? Wouldn't that be encouraging? A bit nerve-wracking? But that's what we want to remember, that our Lord is with us all the time. Everywhere we go, the Lord is with us. But notice what we read here. She was very troubled. She was perplexed. She was confused as to what is going on. She was confused by the angel's statement. And if you recall, most people in the Bible were troubled when confronted by a heavenly visitor. But instead of panicking, she pondered, what kind of salutation is this? What manner of greeting is this? Why am I being approached like this? She was thinking it through, trying to understand the why. And I tell all the young folks that I work with in our congregation, in our community, question everything. Find out the why. Then you'll have a better understanding, and that will help you with your faith, with your faithfulness. But she wasn't afraid to use her mind. That's what you and I must do. And remember, in Luke 2 and verse 19, we're told that she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She dwelled on them. She thought about them. And we'll see as we get through the end of our lesson that even at the death of her son, she thought about all of these things. So she wasn't afraid to use her mind, and she was a godly woman. And we all need godly women in our lives. These godly women help us with our walk. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Now, no one finds favor with God without being basically good. And we can think of Mary as honest and religious. We can think of Mary as having high moral standards and a person of integrity. Are these all qualities that you and I can take on? Yes, and we must. If we are going to strive to be faithful to our Lord, we've got to take on all of these qualities. We've got to be honest and religious. It means devoted to our Lord. We've got to have high moral standards. As the world around us morally crumbles, you and I have to stand up and remain faithful. We've got to be a person of integrity, even doing those things when no one else is around, because our Lord is with us. He's watching us. He's reading our hearts, and He can see why we're doing everything we do. Now, along with not being afraid to use her mind and being a godly woman, she believed in God and His power. That's something you and I must do. The angel continues in Luke 1 and verse 31 through 33, and he says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and she shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Now this young lady, this teenager, has just been told all of these things. The teenagers in this house, the teenage ladies, how would you like God to put that on you? Have you thought about that pressure? What is about to happen to me? What are you about to do? What is this Jesus going to be doing? He's going to be setting up His kingdom. Now remember, Jesus' kingdom is the church. And our Lord sat down on David's throne and began to reign over His kingdom when He ascended to the right hand of God. The angel's words anticipated all of this. But what do you think Mary was concerned about? You think she was worried about the kingdom that would take place 30 plus years in the future? I believe she was thinking about, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. Because she says this, "How can this be since I do not know a man? How is this possible?" Now it's kind of like the response that Zacharias gave when he was told he was going to have a son named John in their later years. But Mary believed what she was being told by this angel. It's stressed that she believed the angel in Luke 1 and verse 45. Blessed is she who believed. She believed all these things were going to happen. And that's something you and I are supposed to try to work on, is our belief. How often do you read through Genesis 1 and verse 1 or chapter 1 and think, wow, our God did all that? He spoke all these things and boom, they existed. That's supposed to help us with our faith. That's why we read and study our Bibles, is to help us with our faith. Well, Mary believed the angel. And she asked that question, how's this going to happen? The angel gave her an answer. The angel didn't do what was done to Zechariah. She didn't question that it wasn't going to happen. Or she just said, well, how's this going to happen? And he explains it to her. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. She was told how it would happen. And we want to recognize this Greek word to overshadow is episkiazo. That's the Greek word that's used. And this was used in the Septuagint in the Greek. And this speaks of the presence of God filling the tabernacle in the Old Testament. So God is going to be with Mary. But let's recognize something else. Mary had not asked for a sign, but the angel gave her one. She talks about Elizabeth. Because Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. In her sixth month of her pregnancy, Mary and Elizabeth were going to come in contact with each other. And the angel added, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Have you thought about that? Everything our Lord does, nothing is impossible. We can't even imagine or come up with, conceive the things that God is able to do. The angel assures Mary, God can do everything. Nothing is impossible. Every word will not be impossible with God. That's what the American Standard Version of the Bible says. For no word from God shall be void of power. And this is what Mary was to believe. This is where you and I need to have this same attitude towards all the Scriptures being inspired by God. We've got to believe every word. That's a hard thing for us to do, but we can do it. Mary was to believe, and she did. And this is what you and I must do if we expect to meet the challenges of life. Now remember, we want to recognize something else about Mary. She had a humble spirit. She didn't go around and tell everyone, I'm going to be the mother of the Savior. She didn't brag about that. But she did say this, Behold the maidservant of the Lord. She simply said, Thy will be done. Is that what our attitude is? Do we say that statement when we read our Bible and we go, wait, I've got to make this change. Thy will be done, Lord. That's what Mary did. Thy will be done. If there's ever a single verse that makes clear why God chose Mary, well, this might be it. Because it talks about the bond slave. And young ladies, you don't want to be a slave in the first century. The word for this slave is doulos, and it's translated the bond slave, and the feminine form of slave. And female slaves were the lowliest, the most despised and mistreated of the slaves. It's a fascinating thing to go, our God chose this slave girl to bring our Savior into the world. He didn't choose the very best of the land, the most prominent individual. He chose the lowliest of the low to bring our Savior into the world. How fascinating it is. And Mary later saying in Luke 1 and verse 48, For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant, for behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. His maidservant. But think about her being submissive to the will of God. That's a challenge for us, isn't it? Especially in this country. As Americans, we like to take control and be in control of our lives. Everything about it. But as Christians, we have to be submissive to the will of God. His will has to be done. In Luke 1 and verse 38, Mary said, Let it be done to me according to your word. Let it be done exactly the way you have told me. That's how you and I need to think as we read our Scriptures. Let this be done exactly as God has presented it to us. We've got to remember, God has no secrets. He's told us everything. That's what makes Him a just God. There's nothing in secret. But consider all the implications of this statement. Remember, Mary was a thinking person. She went into this with her eyes open. She was a very young woman. She was engaged to be Mary who would suddenly be pregnant. What do you think her husband-to-be was going to say? It's not mine. It's hard for us to realize how precarious Mary's situation was going to be. Have you thought back to that time when Mary was pregnant? Here she is betrothed to Joseph. And suddenly, in this small town like Nazareth, she's pregnant. Think about the looks. Think about the stares. Think about the whispers, the gossip, and the vicious comments. Think about We have teenage pregnancies in our world right now. You think about those young ladies who, well, you can't hide this, although some try. Think about what people say. Well, Mary would be in a similar situation, although much worse. If you'll recognize what is said in John 8 and verse 41 about our Lord, and you think about the situation, they accused Jesus. Notice what it says. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. That's a slam to Jesus and his being born. You think about that situation. Also think about Mary's precarious position. You know she could have been put to death for that? God put her directly in harm's way. That's something you and I must consider. She could have lost her life. You see, the law said that an engaged woman who committed fornication was to be stoned to death. And she said to the Lord, thy will be done. Is that something you and I could run into in our walk as Christians? Could harm come to us if we proclaim Jesus Christ as the Son of God? Absolutely. Depending on where we are. Thankfully, we live in this country where we don't have to worry about that for now. We've got to make sure our faith is strong. And could Mary hide this? Not in any way, shape, or form. So finding two or three witnesses against her would be no problem. The first two or three people that walked past Mary in the sixth or seventh month of her pregnancy would serve the purpose. It wouldn't take much. But I believe when Mary said, thy will be done, she was aware of all these repercussions. Nevertheless, she told the angel, be it done according to your word. Basically, she said, if that's the way God wants it, that's the way it will be. She was extremely submissive to the will of God. And that's the kind of person God can use, whether mother, father, son, or daughter. That's the kind of people we need to be. Extremely submissive to our God. Then if you'll remember, the angel left her. The angel departed from her. And where did she go? She went to her cousin in Luke chapter 1 and verse 39. She arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah. She needed to talk to someone about the situation. She needed to talk to her cousin Elizabeth, her relative. She was probably, Elizabeth being probably one of the few people who would believe what had happened to her, since Elizabeth was, well, experiencing a similar thing. Notice what we see with Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leapt in her womb. John leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. That is a fascinating thought. The baby leapt in her womb. That's something we need to share with those about us. Those people who determine that there is no life in the womb. We know very well. There is absolutely life in the womb. That baby is still growing and it's learning and it can hear. We can see that. But notice, she spoke with a loud voice and said to Mary, blessed are you among women and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Elizabeth knew what was going on and she was excited. She was excited. And notice her excitement continues. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? What a tremendous thought. My cousin is burying the Savior of the world and she's come to see me. What an honor it would be to consider that. Mary was submissive to the will of God, and fortunately she had Elizabeth to talk to help her with this situation. But she was so submissive, Mary was. Thy will be done, she said to the Lord. Now, something else about this young lady we want to recognize is that, well, hit the right button. She knew the Scriptures. This is something else that we're lacking in our world around us, in our nation. Especially in this nation, people know less and less about their Bibles. Are you aware of that? You can walk down the street, we could probably find a couple of folks that don't know what the first book of the Bible is. But Mary knew the Scriptures. She knew her Bible. She knew the Scriptures. They didn't have the Bible then. But Mary's magnificent song of praise reveals to us in Luke 1 and verse 46 through 55 that she knew the Word of God. She describes in Luke 1 and verse 46 through 49 what God had done for her. She goes on and says in Luke 1 and verse 50 through 53 what God had done for all people, especially her people. He had helped the helpless, the humble, and the hungry. And then a third part is what God had done for Israel in Luke 1 and verse 54 through 55. You see, and this last was proof that God always kept His Word. Mary knew the Scriptures. It is so important for our young folks to know the Scriptures. Know God. That's the only way we can know Him, is through the Scriptures. We've got to be impressed with the fact that she knew them. And Mary's words indicate a personal knowledge of the Word. 12 Old Testament passages are reflected in her words of praise. That's remarkable in a day when only boys were allowed to attend the synagogue schools. You think about all these challenges that Mary dealt with, and she overcame them. You see the reason God chose her? For all of these wonderful things. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She thinks about all these things. Are we thinking about all the things that the Lord has taught us and the things that the Lord has done with us? Hopefully we are. We think back to the people that God has brought into our lives that have helped us to grow. We think about His Word. And we make choices or decisions based upon what we understand the will of God is. Now, another thing we want to recognize is that Mary was brave and courageous. About 40 days after Jesus' birth, Mary and Joseph took the baby to the temple in Jerusalem to offer a sacrifice. And there, a man named Simeon took Jesus in his arms and spoke of all that the child would accomplish. We see that in Luke 2 and verse 25 through 35. I'll let you read that on your own. Take time to read through that. Simeon tells her all those things. But his inspired words include this ominous warning to Mary. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. You realize what Mary's son was going to experience? To be told you're going to bring the Savior into the world, your son, and this is what's going to happen. But also think about this task that Mary was given. You know, it's not been easy to raise our children. Jennifer and I have not been easy to raise our children. But Mary's been tasked with raising the Son of the Creator. That is a tremendous weight. What a responsibility. But she was brave and courageous. And we also know that Mary had at least, well, 7 other children. Think of this list in Mark 6 and verse 3. James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and not his sisters with us here. We know of others. Do you realize that there are people out there in our world, especially in one denomination, that say Jesus didn't have siblings? He does. We've got to share that thought with others. Can you imagine the stress of being responsible for rearing God's own son? What an amazing young lady to bring God's son into the world. And at the end, Simeon told her that a sword would pierce her soul. Heartache was ahead. Young lady, you've got this burden. And she said, "Thy will be done." You know, only a brave woman could have faced and met all of these challenges. Mary has shown her courage by being willing to accept the consequences of being an unwed mother in a day when such was almost unheard of. But she had continued to show her courage by accepting the consequences of being the mother of the Lord. This may be why God chose a poor, unknown young woman from an obscure, even despised town rather than a pampered darling in a royal court. This woman could handle it. You and I need to recognize more about Mary than we do. What a tremendous young lady that we can learn from. God needed someone who was strong and resilient. God needed someone who was tough. That's how you and I need to become. You see, we never read about Joseph during the time of Jesus' personal ministry, do we? He kind of falls off. We don't know what has happened to him. We only read about Mary and her children. But some people think that Joseph was older than Mary, and he may have died before Jesus began his work. But the fact that Jesus committed the care of His mother to John in John 19 and verse 26 and 27 tells us that Joseph's no longer living. There's a strong possibility that Mary had to do much of the rearing of her seven children by herself. Have you thought about that? That's something else we've got to consider. And as the firstborn, Jesus would have assumed some of the responsibility when His father died. Nevertheless, the burden on Mary was, as the surviving parent, would have been great. But she was willing to accept responsibility. Responsibility, there's a word most people don't like, right? Be responsible. What are you saying? It's someone else's fault, right? That's what we hear from children. No, he did it. Wait a minute. Just accept responsibility. Mary's toughness ties in with this characteristic. This is a characteristic that's so lacking in so many folks around us. She was willing to accept responsibility. Remember in Luke 2 and verse 41 through 45, Mary and Joseph didn't know where Jesus was. Remember, they traveled along for 2 days and realized Jesus wasn't with them. How many of you would travel along for 2 days and not know your children's around? How many of you would stop and go back? Hey, we've got to go back. I can't believe 2 days. After all, God had given them the responsibility to care for Jesus. Responsibility. Sadly, there are people in our world who don't want to take responsibility for the children they bring into the world. And that's something I can share with you. The son, Kobe, our 9-year-old, is we're adopting him. But his parents didn't take responsibility for bringing him into the world. That's a sad case for many children. We as Christians have to step up and help all those children. Do what we can to help those children that the Lord brings into the world. We've got to help them. But Joseph and Mary searched diligently throughout Jerusalem for Jesus. And remember what he told them? Didn't you know I'd be about my father's business? I was going to be working. I'm just glad they found him. And a lesson to be learned. She took responsibility for that. Now, something else she did, I have to speed up. She expressed confidence in her son. That's something else we lack. Parents and grandparents. Most of the time we beat up on our children instead of, wait, I believe in you. That's a simple phrase we've got to tell folks. We've got to tell them, we believe in you. Mary believed in her son. Remember the wedding feast when they ran out of wine? Mary, the mother of Jesus, said to him, they have no wine. And then she goes on to say, whatever he says to you, do it. Do it. Do whatever he says. She had complete confidence in her son. You and I can have that complete confidence in our Lord and Savior, just like his mother. And we must. If we're to get through this life and to be faithful, we've got to have complete confidence in our Lord. And we need to share that attitude with our children. You can do it. Now, Mary was also concerned about the welfare of others. She was concerned about Jesus and the fact that he might not be getting enough to eat. In Mark 3 and verse 20 through 21, the multitude came together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. But when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold on him and they said, he is out of his mind. Jesus wasn't getting to eat and Mary was concerned about it. So Mary made a decision. Then his brothers and his mother came and standing outside, they were sent to him calling him, and a multitude was sitting around him and they said to him, look, your mother and your brother are outside seeking you. But he answered of them saying, who is my mother or my brothers? And he looked around in a circle at those who sat about him and said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and mother. Mary was concerned about his well-being. She wanted to have a conversation and make sure he had enough to eat. But it's quite clear Mary was still learning about her son and what he could and couldn't do. And so she approached him in this instance. And, well, we learned this about our Lord. She was still learning. But the last thing we want to recognize is that Mary was faithful to her task to the end. At this point in the narrative, we lose sight of Mary until the cross. John recorded this poignant scene in John 19 and verse 25 through 27. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Have you thought about what's going through Mary's mind? The Lord told me I was bringing the Savior into the world. Simeon told me a sword would pierce my heart. My son is up on that cross. How impressive is this woman to know something tragic was going to happen to her son? Can you see Mary standing there looking up at her son on the cross? Can you see the tears coursing down her cheeks? Can you see her remembering, cradling him in her arms when he was born? That's something we fail to remember. Notice this thought or this prayer. "I heard two women weeping as down the hill they came, and one was like a broken rose and one was like a flame. One said, 'Men shall rule this day, their evil hands have done.' The other said, only through her tears, 'My son, my son, my son.'" What a thought. On a hill called Golgotha, Mary at last understood the words spoken by Simeon. "A sword will pierce even your own soul." You and I have got a tremendous thing to learn from Mary, all these characteristics. What a tremendous lady. But think about the scene after. In Acts 1 and verse 14, as Jesus has died, ascended into heaven, all these are together. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brothers. They still believed. Here's the Savior. The brothers had come to faith. Remember, they didn't believe Him at first. But they'd come to faith, and Mary's faith had blossomed into understanding. And here's where we leave Mary. We don't read about her anymore. You know, one inspired tradition says that she died in Jerusalem. Another says that she moved to Ephesus with John and died there. We don't know what happened to her. But God let us know that she was part of the exciting early days of the church, and with that, He drew the curtain on the story of the mother of our Lord. What a tremendous lady. You and I got to ask the question why God chose Mary, and here's why. Because she wasn't afraid to use her mind. She was a godly woman. She believed in God and His power. She had a humble spirit. She was submissive to the will of God. She knew the Scriptures. She was brave and courageous. She was willing to accept responsibility. She expressed confidence in her son. She was concerned about others. And she was faithful to her task to the end. That's what you and I have to consider. Remember what our Lord tells us in Revelation 2 and verse 10? "Be thou faithful until death, and I will give thee the crown of life." Mary did all of those things. Faithful unto death. What a tremendous story. All of these characteristics will help anyone to succeed in the tasks of life. And more important, they'll qualify anyone to be used by God in His service. I pray the Lord will be with each of you as you strive to serve God. Think of Mary. Let her be an encouragement to you. Thank you very much for listening. And I've got God's plan for saving man, but we'll save that for later. Thank you.